begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Come along, gentlemen, please. Nearly 3 o'clock. Come on, it's a fine afternoon. Get some fresh air.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Well, well, Mr. Glum, today's a big day.
Oh, the biggest day. My son's wedding day.
Yes.
At 3:30, what should I say, 3:30 this afternoon, in just half an hour's time, Ron and Ethel will be standing in yonder church directly opposite, while the vicar denounces a man and wife.
That's marvellous. It don't hardly seem possible it's really going to happen.
Do you know, Ted, I keep consoling myself. I'm not losing a son, I'm gaining a sofa.
I can appreciate your feelings, Mr. Glump. 7 years engaged, it's just a long time.
That's just what Eph was saying last night, Ted, when she come round to our place on what you might call her last maiden trip.
Oh, Ron. Tomorrow. Only another 19 hours. Oh, beloved, have you got butterflies in your tummy?
Oh, Eph. I've got baked beans.
From supper, Ron. I mean from excitement. This time tomorrow night, the ceremony will be over, and the reception will be over, and you and me, Ron, we shall be on our...
Todd?
Yes, we'll be alone, but we'll be... Oh, beloved, the very word makes me go all tingly. H-O-N-E-Y-M-O-O-N.
Oh, Hammersmith.
Honeymoon, dear heart. We'll be on the lorry en route for Grimsby. Oh, dear heart, I'm just so all a-quiver with it all. I know I won't sleep a wink tonight.
Nor will I, Eph.
Oh, you nervy too?
No, Eph. Dad's already sold me bed.
Oh, poor Ron. Oh, never mind. Tomorrow night you'll be able to have a good night. Ron, I think I'd better be going now.
Yeah, right, Eph. I'll walk you to the door.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
How about tomorrow? Doing anything?
Ron!
Oh, yes.
Hello, hello, hello. Who's getting married in the morning?
Oh.
Ta-la. Ding dong, the bells are gonna ring. Oh, it's exciting now, isn't it, eh? All over by the shouting, eh? Well, I can only say in all sincerity that if you two are half as happy as Mrs. Glum and I have been... Nah, but why look on the black side?
Well, I'm just off, Mr. Glass.
No. Don't go yet, Eth. Shove up and let me sit among you for a few minutes. To make more room than that, that's it, yeah. Well, we certainly got some memories to look back on over this courtship of yours, haven't we, eh?
We certainly have, Mr. Glass.
Yes, one way or the other, we've weathered a few trials and tributaries, haven't we, eh? Yeah, Eth, of all the things that have happened, what sticks in your mind the vividest?
Well, it's funny, but well, out of everything, I'd say the very first time Ron and I met.
Oh, yes. That's going back a few years, isn't it? Yes. Let's see now. He happened to sit next to you in a cinema, didn't he? That's right, yeah. He didn't strike up a conversation immediate with you because at that time he was painfully shy as regards the opposite you-know-what. In fact, I don't think he did know what.
Yes, that's right. We were completely... strangers.
Yeah.
But when he left the cinema, do you remember he left his cap on the seat?
Yeah.
And I saw the address in it, so I thought I'd bring it round to him.
Yes, I wasn't home when you got here, was I?
No, Ron was all alone in the house. Oh, and how it was pouring. I rang the doorbell.
Just coming.
Good evening. Are you the gentleman in the cinema to whom I sat next?
It's a girl. Go away, I'm all alone.
But it's about your cap.
My cap?
You left your cap under the seat when you went. I saw your address inside, so I took the liberty of bringing it straight round.
Oh.
I do hope you were up.
Up what?
I haven't got you out of bed, I mean.
Oh. Did you say I was the one who was sitting next to you?
Yes.
Then you must be the one who was sitting next to me.
Well, yes, that's right.
Well, you'd better come in.
Come in? Well, I am rather soaked. Perhaps I'd better dry off a bit. Well, thank you.
Through here.
Thank you. Weren't you with that stout gentleman who kept blowing down his straw during the love scenes?
Yes, that's my dad.
He must be awfully good company. Shall I, sit on the sofa?
If you like. We had pilchards for tea. Do you come here often?
You know, I hope you don't mind my saying this, but in the pictures I could only see your profile. I thought you were much darker skinned.
I'd been eating a choc ice.
By the way, I don't believe I mentioned it. My name's F.
F.
How about yours?
No, mine isn't.
See if I can guess what your name is. You look like a Charlie to me.
My name is Ron.
Oh, that's nice. It's masculine, isn't it?
No, it's Glum. Ron Glum.
Ron Glum. Ron.
Yes.
And S. Oh. Funny, the two names seem to go together.
And, Ed, it's hard to believe you've been going together for 7 years.
Oh, yes.
And now you're on the eve of committing marriage. It's inscrutable how fate works out, isn't it? Makes you realise that on the great chessboard of life, we are but prawns.
Well, yes, I know how you feel, Mr. Glum. How about you, Ron? What part of the 7 years will live in your memory longest?
Oh, Eth, I've got lots of memories, more memories than anybody, I think. The only trouble is...
Yes?
I can't remember them.
Well, pull your cap down over your eyes and concentrate.
All right, oh, Dad.
It'll take him a couple of minutes to warm up, Eth. Let's have a drop of music on the gramophone while we're waiting. Pick out something nice and lively.
All right. Well, here we are. The keynote.
Pack your kit, rosin up your bowl. Don't know where we're going, but your papers, here we go.
Oh, where we're going, I don't know. Where I'm heading, I ain't certain. All I know is I am on my way. When will I be there, I don't know. When will I get there, I ain't certain. All I know is I am on my way. Got a dream, boy, got a song.
Paint your way.
I ain't equipped to say.
I think you had the volume up a bit there. I don't know, but that should have stirred up Ron's remembering processes. Well, Ron, what's your golden memory? Ron, wake up, wake up, wake up, you dozy aper.
Hey? Oh, Dad, I had a lovely dream.
Did you?
My birthday treat 2 years ago.
Oh, yes. What a lovely outing that was. Remember, Ev? I promised Ron, didn't I, that he could have any treat he wanted for his birthday.
And he plumped for a row on the Serpentine.
Yes, in February, if you please. So there we were, the three of us. One lonely little rowing boat, rowing slowly across the huge empty Serpentine in the cold, bleak February dusk. Oh, let's drift a bit. Oh, we've done 20 minutes. It's a heavy old boat to pull along, isn't it?
Yes, Mr. Glum. My arms are aching like anything.
Well, you've only got another 40 minutes to do it. Then we'll have had our hours whether we can go back.
I feel awful.
Oh, Mr. Glum, Ron's come over bad again. Oh, dear, he is a poor sailor, isn't he? I think we ought to take him back.
No, Ed, don't be selfish. It's not what you and I think. This is Ron's treat.
I want to die.
Really, Ron, I must say, really, you're not taking in the beauty of the surroundings at all. You're missing all the nature. Here, see that in the water ahead? That's a white crested gannet.
Mr. Glum, it's an ice cream carton.
Well, you don't see many of them this time of the year either.
It's really too dark to see anything. Oh, can't we please go home?
Eh, once and for all, I've paid for an hour, and an hour we're going to have.
Just stop it going up and down, Dad. Please, Dad, just the up and down.
Oh. Mr. Glum, I don't care what you say. I'm going to... Oh.
Now what you done?
I've lost the oar.
Oh, that's clever.
Well, I couldn't help it, Mr. Glum. All the feeling's gone from my hands.
Oh, dear, and they call us a seafaring nation. Well, Ed, don't just sit there with the tears welling up. Lean over and grab the oar out of the water.
You, Mr. Glum?
Me? Can't you see I've got my gloves on? Hurry up now. Go on. Lean out. You'll be all right. Go on. Don't panic. Lean further than that, for goodness sake. What are you afraid of? Oh, dear. Now, what's that phrase they use? Man overboard!
Oh, don't be silly, Dad. It's not a man. It was F.
Ron, please don't try and correct me, please. I know it was it, but you're still supposed to shout man overboard.
Even though it's a girl overboard?
It doesn't matter who it is. The gender's immaterial. That's how you do it on a boat. You say man overboard, whoever falls overboard. I mean, look, Leah, look. Even if you was loading up animals and a pig fell in, well, you wouldn't shout out pig overboard, would you? You'd still shout out man overboard.
I never knew that.
You want to learn these things, Ron. I mean,
When
you're on a ship, you've got to do things the nautical ship-shaped way. Here, I'll give you another example here. You know what a sailor says when he sights land? They say, land ahoy. Now, there's a silly word, ahoy. Now, there's no such thing as ahoy, is there? That's what you shout out.
Well, it's very interesting, isn't it?
It is. It's engrossing. People spend their whole lives studying that, you know.
I didn't know that. Land ahoy.
Yeah.
Eth, did you know that it... Dad. Where's Eth?
No!
Mr. Oh, lummy. Look, Ron. See that island in the middle? Is that her climbing onto it?
Mr.
It is her. Ron, quick, paddle towards the island.
Right out, Dad. Big ahoy! Big ahoy!
I'll always remember that, Mr. Glum. I was in bed for 4 weeks after it.
Oh, well, you know what they say about a love affair, eh? You've got to take the rough with the smooch. I remember this, too. I have known suffering during your fiancedom. What about that time I got my big toe caught in the plug hole of the bar?
Oh, yes, and what a job we had extricating it.
Yeah, what a job. Complicated by the fact that I had Ron's goldfish in the bath with me.
He had to have his exercise, Dad.
Well, it wasn't
pleasant, my boy. Do you remember, Edith? There was only one way I could get you into the bathroom to help extract the tow. That was by pouring half a dozen packets of gravy browning into the bath water. Thus, as you might say, sort of clouding the issue.
Yes, that's right. And I waited outside till you were ready for me to come in. Can I come in yet?
I'm just having one more stir. Yes, don't come in yet. Pour the rest of that packet in, Ron, and give the bath a good swish round. That's it. How's that now, Ron?
Just a minute, Dad. Lovely.
I didn't mean to taste it.
Oh,
it's dark enough all right now. I can't see anything through it. Righto, Eth. I'm decent.
Hello, Mr. Glam.
Hello, my dear. You'll pardon me not getting up. Well, this is a fine predicament for a man to find himself in, isn't it? Sitting here looking like the brown inversion.
Awful, Mr. Glam, but what did you want to put your big toe in the plug hole for in the first?
I didn't want to put it in. I had to put it in. There weren't no plug.
No plug?
My darling son had pinched it, complete with the chain.
Ron, whatever for?
Oh, I'm teaching myself to play conkers.
So that's marvellous. Isn't that marvellous, eh? So when your poor old father goes to have a bath, he switches on the taps, and what happens? The water runs straight out. The only thing I could do was undress myself and then sit down in the empty bath. And prior to turning the tap on, stuffed me big toe in the plug hole. That part alone gave me a severe emotional shock.
Emotional shock?
Well, you try sitting down naked on cold porcelain. Anyway, as it turned out, the bath did fill up and I did manage to pass a lightly soaked flannel over my salient features. But when I go to get out, what do I find? My big toe's wedged like a bung in a beer barrel.
Now, don't distress yourself, Mr. Glam.
I am already distressed.
Yeah.
I've been tugging and hauling and pulling at it for 3 hours and nothing will shift it.
Look, Mr. Glam, let's try and lever your toe out.
Lever?
Suppose we put a broomstick under your knee, rest it against the edge of the bath, and then Ron and I throw all our weight on the other end. What would happen?
You'd break my ruddy leg, that's what would happen. Oh, dear, 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 dear. It's like fate itself perspiring against me.
Yeah.
I tell you, Ethel, I'll say you this. I won't be shifted from this bathroom without major surgery. All because my dear son decided...
Ah!
That blooming goldfish! Oh, dear. Keeps doing that when I least expect it. Where is it? Just let me get my hands on that goldfish. There's something. Oh, that's the soap. I'll teach it to treat me like a subterranean grotto.
Now, Dad, careful, don't start thrashing about. You'll stir up the gravy.
I'll stir something. Hope the goldfish enjoys it. It's all so inexplicable. Yeah, listen, if the flaming toe goes in, why won't it come out?
Oh, well, that's quite easily explainable, Mr. Glum. It was the heat of the hot water.
The heat of the what?
The hot water.
The heat of it?
Yes, because it made your big toe swell. Heat always makes things get bigger.
Oh, yeah, she's quite right, Dad. That's why days are longer in the summer than they are in the winter. Yeah.
I see. So your brilliant suggestion is that I sit here till the winter.
Oh, Mr. Glum, but we're on the right track.
How do you mean?
Ron, can you think of some way for your father to cool his big toe?
Yes, Ed.
You can, Ron.
It seems obvious to me, Dad.
Well, thank goodness somebody's got some sense. Well then, Ron, how can I cool that toe?
Take it out and blow on it.
Just like that. Take the toe out and blow on it. Ron?
Yes, Dad?
Once and for all, admit something to me. I just want the satisfaction of hearing you admit it.
What, Dad?
Sometimes you're as dim as the Black Wall Tunnel, aren't you?
Yes, Dad.
No, no, not just yes, Dad. Go on, admit it in full. Go on, admit it.
Sometimes I'm as dim as the Black Wall Tunnel.
Just plain honest to goodness gormless.
Just plain honest to goodness gormless.
And stupid with it.
And stupid with it.
Oh, thank you, Ron. Anyway, that's made me feel a little better.
I'll tell you one thing about me, though, Dad.
What's that?
I've never got me big toe stuck in a plug hole.
Well, Mr. Glum, so that's how you spent the eve of the wedding then, eh? Reminiscing.
That's it, yeah.
Very suitable.
Yeah.
Hear that, though? Look over the road. Your family is starting to arrive at the church.
Oh, yes, the vultures are gathering.
Yeah.
Give us another brown, quick. Hello, that's fat Aldi Reaney going in now.
Yeah.
And there's Cousin Herbert. There's the Ginger Twins. Oh, there's Uncle Les with his Priscilla. Oh, look, she don't want to go in.
Ah, shame.
Well, it is hardly the place to take a greyhound, is it, really? Here. Looks like they're practically all assembled now.
You ought to be going across now,
then, mate? I've got plenty of time. I shall go as soon as the man of the moment arrives. I told him I'll meet him here.
Oh, I see.
Hello, Dad. Here he is. Hello, Mr. Ted.
Hello, Ron. This is it, eh? All my very best to you, son.
Thank you, Mr. Ted.
Going to have a little nip?
I hope so. Eth wants one of each. Three.
Well, I look forward to that, my boy.
Yeah, me too, Dad.
But before we make our... Did you say three? Oh, yeah.
Three.
Before we make our dignified entry, let's have a look at you, boy. Make sure your attire is sardonically correct. Turn right round. Oh, what a smart boy, isn't he? Wait a minute. What's that carnation doing there?
You told me to put it in my buttonhole.
The buttonhole of your jacket. Not your waistcoat. Put it back up there in your... Well, there you are. Off you go, my son. All you got to do is to cross that road.
Dad.
What?
That car that's just pulled up outside the church. Who's that girl in the white dress getting out?
Hey, what? Well, that's it. She's come early.
That's it?
Cool. Doesn't she look lovely?
That's it?
Yes, why?
I never knew she could look like that. And she's going to be mine.
Yes, son.
Come on, Dad.
No. Don't run, she'll keep. Just walk yourself across the road at a dignified pace. Go on, off with you. I'll be over in the gypsies when I finish this brown.
Goodbye, Mr. Ted.
Goodbye, son.
Ah, there he goes, Ted. It makes your heart warm, doesn't it? It's hard to realise he's only got to cross that road and he's married at last.
Yeah.
Nothing can stop it happening now, can it?
Nothing, Mr. Glum. Just got to cross that road, that's all.
I'm over sentimental.
Yeah,
nothing can stop him crossing that road. There's no traffic, not a car, not a bicycle.
No aeroplane overhead.
No, not even a strong wind blowing. Oh. He's nearly halfway across the road already. Look at him, stepping it out. Eyes only for his bride-to-be. Let's drink to him, Ted. To Ron.
Hey.
Who are you?
Oh, I've just been sitting quietly here, finishing my pint and listening to you, mate. As a complete stranger, I'd also like to add my wishes, you know.
Oh, that's very civil, that nonsense. You're not the chimney sweep, are you? Because that's lightning.
No, I'm not the chimney sweep. I'm just a sewage maintainer, you know. Oh. Run this way, you know, to repair a broken manhole cover, as a matter of fact.
Broken manhole cover? Where?
It's over there, just there in the middle of the road there.
In the middle of the road?
You can see
Ron, it. Ron, don't go no further.
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell.